Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve in just a moment about the 49ers' 25-20 win over the Baltimore Ravens. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Short on time? Come out to TPC Harding Park's Fleming 9 and try out their new greens. Celebrate the grand reopening this Saturday, October the 24th, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Standard Fleming rates will apply, but the rates will include free food and drinks, prizes, and more. Fleming is a first-come, first-served course, so just show up and hit the sticks. Call the golf shop at 415-664-4690 for more information. And Steve Bono is here to talk about the 49ers 25-20 win over the Baltimore Ravens. And Steve, let's start with Colin Kaepernick and just the progression that he's made. And I mean, after being down in the dumps there, this is two games in a row where he seems to be much better. What have you noticed about him last couple of games? You know, I know the confidence is starting to come back. Why do you think that is?
The confidence is definitely coming back, and it's gosh, it's nice to see it so quickly. After, you know, such a struggle in the Green Bay game. I think that some small changes. We talked about it last week, you know, going with putting him under center, going with two backs in the backfield, a tight end in the game, being able to run the ball. Not that they ran it great on Sunday, but having the threat of it and then having the capabilities to run play action, to move Cap around, to get him out of the pocket, just, you know, little dinks and dunks get them started on the right foot, so to speak, in the game, and then taking a few shots. And again, those shots were off of play action. The big one was off of a play action pass. So it helps him. Play action helps not just Cap, but really most quarterbacks in general. Get a rhythm. There's a definite rhythm to a play action pass, not only with your feet but with your hands, and just the whole motion of it. So it's nice to see the deep ball, you know, off the play action, and as well as off of some movement where he had to move around a little bit in the pocket and then finds a guy wide open in the end zone.
Well, he had six completions of 20-plus yards, and that's kind of going against what had been going on lately. Especially the one that I really point to is the pass that he made to Anquan Boldin. It was 51 yards. He rolled to his left. He made one of those throws that I don't think any other quarterback can make. You know, he's twisting as he throws it, and it's an accurate, just a perfect pass. And that's one of those where you do have to kind of take a risk. It's not like Boldin was wide open, and that's the kind of pass that, you know, you'd like to see that more often, but I don't think that comes into play as often as you'd like to see.
No, and then that's a throw that only someone like Cap can make, honestly. I mean, he never really got his hips or his shoulders, not that his hips were going to get to that point, but he never got his shoulders, even his left shoulder, even pointed at the target. I mean, his hips and shoulders are wide open, parallel to the line of scrimmage, and he just flicked that thing 51 yards. I mean, that's spectacular, man. That's like the one a couple years ago, I think, I guess it was last year, beginning of the year, where he was rolling left and turned and threw it back to the right to Frank Gore. I think the whole play action movement game is and getting Bruce Miller involved and dumping those balls off early is drawing defenders forward, and then you can take a couple shots.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Miller really wasn't involved at all. You look at the first five games, and he had three catches, and then he had three catches in this game against the Ravens. So, I mean he's not the guy that you would make the focal point, but having that as an option, I mean, how important is that to, you know, just involve a guy who can pick up some yardage once he catches the ball?
That's a huge threat, because that fifth receiver as the fullback is not necessarily always accounted for, you know, because he's sneaking out of the backfield. He looks like he's blocking, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, running wide open with the ball in his hands, and it doesn't have to be thrown far down the field. It's usually dumped off to him. But a couple times he ran that one corner route that Cap threw a nice ball on. Again, sneaking out of the backfield.
Absolutely,
it's a huge weapon.
Of course, Torrey Smith. I mean, he's been a weapon that hasn't been used as much as many people would like to see. But you know, he had that 76-yard touchdown, and you know, that's just using his speed. And he beat a former 49er in Sharice Wright. I don't know how often he's going to be able to do that, but that had to be a lot of fun for everybody.
I think it was a lot of fun for everybody to pick on him after him wanting to be traded.
Right.
Wanting to have more of a role for the 49ers.
Right. Well, you know, I'm seeing Kaepernick running down the field after that touchdown, and I'm thinking about just his whole mental nature now. I mean, we mentioned the confidence, and during last week, a couple of your former teammates, quarterbacks, Joe Montana, a couple of Hall of Famers, Steve Young as well, both came out and talked about Kaepernick, and Montana was saying that he should beg the coaches to go back to playing the game that he knows. Meanwhile, Steve Young is saying kind of the obvious, that he needs to work on the tedious stuff instead of relying on his legs. Is it maybe a combination of both? What did you think about those comments, if you did see them, from Joe Montana and Steve Young?
Actually, I didn't see either of them. I think that where Jeep has him right now, under center, again, two backs in the backfield, doing what they're doing, is teaching him rhythm. You know, the timing of his throws, in trusting his feet to deliver the ball on time. I think that those are things that he is learning right now by what they're doing offensively. And those, you know, that may be what Steve's referring to as the tedious, repetitious things, mechanics.
That could be it. You know, it's interesting too. When I saw that Patton touchdown, that was sort of maybe Kaepernick learning from it, from what he has to do in the pocket, because he looked like he didn't want to stay in the pocket. He looked like, you know what, I have to run. It's getting dangerous in here. And then he stepped back and he realized, wait a minute, I do have a pocket, and he had time, and he just fired that ball to Patton.
I would completely agree with your assessment of that. I thought the same thing. He was wanting to go, and then all of a sudden his eyes came up off the rush and down the field, and he's like, whoa, wait a minute, okay. You know, I do have time. I do have a pocket in front of me.
Yeah, and that kind of goes against what Montana was saying about how he's best when he's moving and he's outside of the pocket. I think he's great when he is moving, but he still has that capability. You could see it. It's just a matter of him feeling more comfortable. You don't know when it's ever going to click, it seems to me.
No, but again, I'm going to go back to the being under center, learning to trust your feet in your drops, whether it's a three-step drop, whether it's a five-step drop with no hitch, whether it's a five-step drop with a hitch, whether it's a seven-step drop with, you know, both. When you come from under center, you have to trust the timing of your feet. You have to trust it out of the shotgun too, but it's harder to learn it. So when you're driving back from center and you're throwing a timing route on hit five and you turn to throw and that you don't like what you see, then okay, you have to reset your feet and come back inside. Along with that is that internal clock of, okay, I've hitched twice. Now I've got to think about the pocket's going to start collapsing around me. I got to think about moving. That internal clock is becomes more synchronized when you're playing from under center.
And what about when you mentioned timing route? You know, a lot of receivers make a cut, and they're kind of expecting the ball to be there. I mean, the best quarterbacks, it seems like, you know, they have that ball there right when the guy makes the cut. It's been practiced a million times, and you don't always see that with Kaepernick and his receivers. Maybe that's improving. Is that something that, you know, you're noticing?
I think it is.
Yeah.
He threw a couple. He threw a couple balls. One of them, if I remember correctly, one of them was an out. Toward the Ravens sideline, if I remember correctly, I think it was to Anquan. So, yes, those timing routes and the ball being delivered on time is what they're trying to accomplish by doing what they're doing offensively right now.
Let's talk about the defense, and there are concerns because, you know, this is one of those games that ended where you exhaled at the end because Flacco was down at the 35-yard line and they could have won the game there at the end. And, you know, he never got sacked. There was only one quarterback hit. They've got to apply more pressure to the quarterbacks, don't they?
They do. You know, thank goodness that Flacco looked like he didn't want to be there. not all day. I mean, he threw some balls up that were, like, just ridiculous. Like, seriously?
Right.
You just did that?
That one interception, he just threw it up for grabs.
No, it's just bad. And then, I don't know, I don't know if he's hurting. I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, he just flat out missed some throws. But, yes, we need to get some more pressure on the quarterback. I think that they can defensively, if we can continue to run the ball well offensively and possess the ball offensively, you know, stay closer in games, I think they can start to take a few more chances on defense as far as have guys playing man, you know, playing some man-free coverage. That would help the pass rush.
Yeah, they haven't played a lot of man coverage from what I've seen. I mean, I know they are not as trusting maybe in their corners as you'd like to see. That was something that Rich Gannon was talking about. I mean, you know, a guy like Acker, he's still learning. Is that something during the season maybe that changes?
Hopefully. Hopefully. A lot of young guys on the defense, and they showed some spurts of it in the in the beginning of the season, maybe even in the preseason, where they were running some blitzes and getting to the quarterback. So hopefully they can get back to that. They don't. I have to be honest. I haven't fully paid attention to what kind of blitzes they've been running or dogs they've been running, but. Just knowing that they haven't gotten a ton of pressure is telling me that they haven't been doing as much.
Well, one thing that was disturbing there at the end of the game is they had that penalty for 12 men on the field, and then they almost got called again. There was a lot of confusion there with the defense at the end of the game. I mean, that I guess it's just a work in progress as far as what they're trying to do and being in sync.
I would agree. I think it's... it's a lot of young guys playing. They're shuffling guys on and off the field in groups of fours, it seems like. I was paying attention to it because one of the suites I was in was in the Levi suite, and they had a bunch of their European employees, and so they were asking questions about why are they running so many guys in and off, you know, on and off the field, and so I was paying attention to it, explaining it to them, but again, it's just there's young people, and there's a lot of moving parts going on right now.
There are times when if you look at the television shot of Jim Tomsula, and I don't know how often you saw it, but there are times where he just reminds me of somebody who walked out to their car at a parking lot and it was towed away. That's the look, like, you know, are you kidding me? My car just got towed? And that's kind of the look he's been giving. You know, and that's happened a lot this season. I feel bad for him in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I can visualize that. That's a good description. I can visualize his face. There was once I didn't notice it on a television or a monitor, but I noticed it live of him just, and I'm not sure what he was running down the field trying to get done, but or maybe he was even debating calling a timeout because we were short a guy or had too many guys, or all of a sudden he got down there and he was all of a sudden like, oh, no, we're okay. You know, take a deep breath.
Exactly. Well, there's not much time to take a deep breath here for this next game against the Seahawks. And what a difference a year makes. Both teams are 2-4. No turkey legs will be eaten at midfield because it's not Thanksgiving, but it is Thursday night. It is a great rivalry still, I think. So, you know, how tough is that to prepare for such a big game when you only have a few days to get ready for it?
It's actually more of an issue preparing physically really than mentally. I'm sure they're both teams offensively, defensively, will have pretty similar game plans to what they had this past weekend. Just because there's not enough time to put in a completely new game plan and be able to practice it. You know, it's Tuesday. Your body feels pretty much at its worst right today. Today and tomorrow, and then you know, all of a sudden playing on Thursday, which is about the time that you're starting to feel a little better from the Sunday before. So it's a little more of a physical adjustment than a mental adjustment this week.
And this is a Seahawks team that, you know, you look at the results, it's stunning. I mean, they've been blowing fourth quarter leads in every one of their losses. All four of their losses, they've done that. They've allowed the most sacks in the NFL. That's shocking because it seems like you could never get to Russell Wilson before. And they've been outscored in the fourth quarter 61-27. I mean, all these things, it doesn't seem like that's the Seahawks. It seems like that's a completely different team.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the Seahawks. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Well, hopefully the 49ers can exploit
that. You know, hopefully we'll just keep adding to that fourth quarter total.
You know, one of the things, though, I mean, getting Reggie Bush back would be great, and we've been talking about it all year. He really hasn't played at all, but Jim Tomsula is saying he's very optimistic that he'll play, and it really seems important now because Carlos Hyde, he's been bothered by that foot problem. He was able to battle through it, but that's not 100%.
Yeah, I would agree. You could see it on that one where he cut on it on Sunday and just basically obviously had huge pain and just fell over.
Yeah, and he just kept playing through it. So they need somebody else, and they also need Vernon Davis to be healthy. I mean, he was playing, but you know, he only got targeted one time. He didn't even have a catch.
Yeah, I agree. He needs to become more a part of the offense. I think he will in just because of the scheme of what they're trying to do right now. It's the backs and the tight ends that get involved in that passing game when it is play action or movement. It's you're usually looking for a tight end or a back quickly.
But Vernon's still valuable, though, the way he blocks. You had mentioned this before. It's not something that a lot of fans really notice, but, you know, him just playing and blocking is pretty valuable, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think. I mean, look. Let's face it. He's a. He's got to be close to his 10th year if he's not already in his 10th year. So he's, you know, he's a leader on the team and somebody that you know, guys want to see on the field. So when he is, it's a positive no matter what.
So Steve, you'll be at the game on Thursday, right?
Absolutely.
So you know, when the 49ers do something great, you're with friends. You can kind of cheer, right? I mean, you go, yeah, that was good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I will be at the game. I will be doing stats for the Seahawks radio. So Steve Rabel and Warren Moon. So I have to be quiet in there. If the 49ers do something, I can't even, you know, raise my eyebrows. They'll probably give me a dirty look. So
yeah, don't do that.
We're in totally different places.
Yeah, exactly. But tell Warren I said hi.
I will, yeah. What? He was a great quarterback, and he's a good guy, really good guy. All right, Steve, thanks a lot, and enjoy the game on Thursday. We'll talk about it next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks.